Hi, I'm Richard, the founder of 10 Adventures, and this is the 10 Adventures podcast. Each week, we talk to real people about real adventures as they explore this incredible planet we all live on.
Today on the 10 Adventures podcast, I am excited to be talking with Juan Carlos Gonzalez, co-owner of Andes World Travel, an adventure tour operator in Colombia that operates throughout South America. Today, we're going to talk about Colombia, a country that was rapidly growing in popularity pre-pandemic. Hi, Juan Carlos. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, how are you? Thank you.
I'm good. I'm excited. I had a friend that spent about 5 years living in Colombia and seeing his photos and hearing him talk about Colombia. It sounds like a magical country to visit, but why are so many tourists flocking to it now? You know, pre-pandemic, everyone was planning a trip to Colombia. What makes it so captivating for people?
It's an exotic destination, mainly because it's been a country that has been locked and kind of out of the tourist maps for so many years due to the war, to the civil war that was raging the country for 70 years. So suddenly it came out of this situation, and then the people start realizing that actually the country has lots to offer in tourism, and the country is very varied. So I guess people are discovering that it's not just a beach by the Caribbean, but it has a lot more to offer than that.
When my friend first got his transfer to Colombia, lots of people were terrified. You know, their view of Colombia was, you know, the TV show Narcos, or, you know, it was kind of a view of Colombia of the 80s, you know, or early 90s. He said it was tremendously safe. You know, he never felt uncomfortable. But what's it like on the ground these days?
Yeah, well, you know, the safety has improved a lot since the end of the war. Of course, big cities are big cities, so you should always be careful. But in general terms, it's safe enough to travel all over the country, especially rural areas and places away from big cities. It's completely safe to travel over there. And I guess now what we're experiencing, it's a lot of people that it's venturing a little bit farther out than just the cities, because the first tourists we got was kind of backpackers, and they kept to the big cities and the adventures close to the towns. But right now, people are starting to travel a bit further into rural and remote areas.
So I'm really interested by, you know, obviously the trekking opportunities of Colombia. You know, a lot of people go there for the beaches or the culture. I'm interested, you know, in, you know, the Andes and the trekking opportunities. What are the best regions to go trekking in Colombia?
Well, you know, Colombia is very varied country. I mean, if I should put only one word in Colombia, I would say diversity, because it's a country that offers everything from, you know, from the beaches of the Caribbean to the jungles of the Amazon and in between the Andes. And the Andes in Colombia has a special characteristic, and is that it splits in three branches. You know, until the northern Ecuador is just one big branch, but as soon as it reaches the southern Colombia, it splits in three. So we got actually like three Andes, three cordilleras. And that makes a place perfect for hiking with different kind of landscapes and weather, temperatures, everything, because it changes so fast in the tropics. So the country offers really a big variety, and that's what you have. You know, we have to offer a lot. Like, we have, for example, the Cocuy National Park, which is on the eastern Cordillera, which is a mountain range that is pretty much like, you cannot compare it, of course, like the Alps, but that type of mountain, which is rocky mountains with very, you know, sharp peaks and ridges. And then you have the Central Cordillera, which is basically big volcanoes, more slopy, rounded kind of mountains. So they are very different. And on the north, we have even a fourth one, which is the Sierra Nevada de Santa Marta. Unfortunately, that one, the high peaks are off boundaries right now due to indigenous affairs, but at some point will be accessible. But over there, we have, on the other hand, one of the most popular treks in Colombia, which is the hike to the Lost City, which is kind of the Colombian Machu Picchu, not in that scale, but, you know, ruins in the middle of the jungles. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about this Lost City trek, because, you know, it sounds really exciting. It's, you know, doesn't seem to be nearly as busy. If you've been to Machu Picchu, it's spectacular, but you know, you're sharing it with lots of people. What is the Lost City trek like?
Well, the Lost City is a tropical trek. That's how I would describe it. And it's a trek that goes from 150 meters up to 1300 meters around in altitude. I'm not too familiar with in feet. I don't know. Do you use feet or meters in Canada?
We're in Canada, so we use meters for most things except for our own height, which we use feet. So it's a totally weird system we have here.
Okay, perfect. So it's very, very hot and very humid. It's one of the, I would say, two challenging factors in this trek. But it's very beautiful because differently to all the other treks in the Andes, it's something that is very, very, very tropical. You know, it's a rainforest. So you basically hike just following a river, which is the Buritaca River, all the way up to the Lost City. So, you know, part of the trek is also the experience of swimming in this river, which is beautiful. And, you know, hiking through a jungle, which is a very, very nice experience, dealing with the heat, especially from the people of the Northern Europe or Northern US or Canada. It's a bit tough sometimes to deal with this weather, but it's part of the experience. And it's very beautiful also because it equals the part of the trek to the experience of the city. It's very, very nice, both of them. Not that crowded, even that for Colombian standards, it's one of the most popular ones, but you cannot even compare it to the amount of people that, you know, hike the Inca Trail, for example. Yeah.
And how many days is that trek?
That is only 4 days. It's a short trek. It's in kilometers, it's not that far, but we split the trek in short a section that is primarily so people have time to enjoy the place, you know, to go out swimming or do maybe shorter hikes once they reach the different lodges that are along the way.
Oh, okay. So you get to stay in lodges every night. You're not camping or carrying a tent?
No, you're staying in lodges. And this is indigenous because the operation is run together with the indigenous community. And they've decided they want the people to stay at certain spots and not all over the place. So they had built us these lodges, which are very basic lodges, and people, you can choose to sleep in a hammock or you can sleep to sleep on a bunk bed.
And then when you get to the Lost City, you know, everyone's seen the photos of Machu Picchu. How grand is it? Is it, you know, really well preserved, or is it still kind of in the jungle as well?
It's very big, the Lost City, but they have only reconstructed a small section of it. That's where the archaeologists work in the beginning. And then they invested a lot of money and time to reconstruct the main terraces of the city, which are located on top of a ridge. So that's the famous picture of the Lost City, the main terraces. So it's very nice. It's not as impressive in a way like the Machu Picchu infrastructure because that's huge. But it's very nice because the terraces are placed in the middle of a jungle, so, which is really amazing how they built this stuff in the middle of you know, such an hostile place in a way. And also getting there is amazing because you're walking by the riverside most of the time. And then just at the end, the last 1.5 hours, 2 hours, you have to just go straight up. They built it a staircase, basically, all the way up. So that's very amazing, yeah, to reach the place.
So that one sounds incredible. You know, the Lost City sounds incredible. Let's move to something that maybe is at higher altitude. So you mentioned, I think, Kukui National Park, and it's a bit like the Alps, you said.
Yeah, the Kukui National Park is actually a very, very big park, which, you know, covers a big area, but the high mountain area, it's like only, I would say, a third of it. The place is very beautiful because it has 22 summits over 5,000 meters. Lots of valleys and lots of lakes. So it's very alpine terrain. And well, this area, it's only allowed to access the western part of it. So we have three trails that you can hike in the trip we have there. And it's very beautiful. It's trekking basically up to the base camps of the mountains. It's not summiting, it's just trekking. So it's very beautiful because you really see changes in the vegetation. And you get to see very beautiful landscape in Colombia. It's a very green country. You know, it's full of green. If you fly over it, it's just patches of green everywhere. So that's very nice to be able to appreciate such a beautiful landscape from the altitude.
And then how high do you get at, you know, do you get on these treks? Are you getting up into, you know, above, you know, 3,500 or 4,000 meters where altitude becomes an issue? Or are you kind of right in that range where, you know, you're not having to worry about, you know, altitude being a major issue with the trekking?
You reach up to the almost 4,000 meters. So it's actually a bit higher in some of the treks. I think you can reach up to 4,500. So yeah, it is an issue, the altitude, in a way. But the advantage with these treks is that you sleep lower. So most of the time you're sleeping around 3,600 to 3,800, and then you're hiking up and then going back to the same place for the night. So it's not an issue in the way that you're not sleeping high. But of course, you will be dealing with the altitude the first days. That's why in the program we do like a progressive acclimatization so that people get a little bit adjusted to the altitude before they go to the highest parts of the program.
And really, the best thing you can do for altitude is get up high during the day and come back and sleep around 3,500 meters. So that sounds really good. Now, is this another trek where you have, you know, little cabins to sleep along the way, or are people sleeping in tents?
No, it's also in local farms. And one of the areas have a small, very basic hotel. You can, it's more cabins kind of thing. So you sleep like very comfortable, and then you get also very nice food for the you know, breakfast and dinner, and then you get like a packed lunch for the hiking days. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. It is just like the Alps, that you're staying in a little mountain. I remember staying in a shepherd's hut in the southern French Alps, and literally we were sleeping on, you know, an upper level above all the cows, and in the morning they were out milking, we had fresh milk for our breakfast, and it was kind of a really neat experience. We never get that here in North America. Are there donkeys, you know, like if people have a lot of luggage, are there donkeys or horses that carry, you know, the extra luggage, or do people carry everything on their backs?
No, in these programs, no, because the cars actually reach the huts and the little hotel. So people is taken up there by car, and then they hike from there. So they don't have to carry only the day pack they need for the day, and then they come back to sleep in there in the night.
And then how busy, I've seen photos of Kukui, it looks stunning, but how busy is it? Like, you know, is this a place that's still relatively undiscovered for people that love walking?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I would say you will only find people during the Colombian holidays, which is from after the Christmas until the 15th of January. That's like the Colombian general holidays. That's where you might find a lot of people, if you can call it like that. It's not never going to be a lot of people, but you're going to be more people. But if you travel, for example, in February, or you travel at the beginning of December or November, or yeah, the rest of the year, basically you're going to be mostly by your own, maybe another team or two, but not much people. Really. It's very still very pristine, yeah.
And when you're walking, you know, you mentioned you're walking kind of from farm, you know, you started the farm and you ended the day at the farm. In between, are you kind of just in the wild mountains, or are you still kind of going through inhabited areas?
No, that's only wild mountains, yeah.
Wow. So it's one of these rare places that, you know, it still is kind of undiscovered, which I know, you know, everyone goes to, you know, goes to Patagonia. They go to, you know, the volcanoes of Ecuador. Here's a place that you can kind of still have nature, you know, without thousands of people around, which sounds really appealing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And also because, you know, as I was telling you, Colombia is not very well known of what it actually has to offer. So mountaineering is nothing that people is focusing when you think in Colombia, you're planning, you know, a trip to the Caribbean or maybe to the Amazon, but not really to the mountains. So it's kind of new. And so most of the people that come for hiking or mountain climbing, one of the things they enjoy is that it's a very, you know, lonely place in a way. You know, you're not going to find much people around. Yeah.
And then you also mentioned Los Nevados, and you mentioned they're more kind of rounded peaks opposed to kind of the dramatic alpine peaks of Kukui. I know nothing of Los Nevados. Can you maybe tell me a little bit more about that part of Colombia?
Yeah, sure. Los Nevados is another national park that's located on the central cordillera. As I told you before, it splits in three parts, the Andes in the south of Colombia. This one is on the central cordillera, and then the national park. This one has, three volcanoes above 5,000 meters, and then a lot between 4,000 and 4,500. The area, it's very nice because it's right in the middle between two very humid valleys. So it's very green. It rains quite a lot throughout the year. Best season of the year to go there is from the beginning of December until the end of March. That's when it gets drier. But the area is very green, lots of vegetation, very, very nice. And what is nice about this in relation to other places, like in Ecuador, for example, most of the time you can drive up to the mountains. But here you have to really hike to get to the mountains because there is no roads or any other type of infrastructure. So you usually start low and then around 2,000, maybe 2,300 or 400 meters. And then you have to hike up to the páramos, which are how we call the highlands in Colombia. And then you hike there or you can ascend some peaks. We have one of the programs you have is very nice. It's the Paramillo del Quindío, which is the highest mountain of Quindío state. Here we call them departments, but it will be like a state. And it's a trekking summit, which you can just walk up with your hiking boots and trekking poles. It's an extinct volcano, very nice. So you go all the way from 2,000 to 4,500 meters, in 2 or 3 days. So it's very nice programs. I feel very pristine in certain ways. There's more peasants living around because there was a big farming area in the past. But in general terms, very few people also. And then what is beautiful about this area is that it's just in the middle of the coffee area of Colombia, where the coffee traditionally has been grown. So you can mix the experience with going to the mountains, to end up or start with, staying in a coffee farm and, making the coffee tours around, learn a little bit about this part of the Colombian culture, which is very beautiful, too.
That sounds really, really great. And is that trek as well? Is that area, are you staying in farms or small inns or are you camping?
That's a mixture because the area is a little bit extended. So sometimes we camp, sometimes we sleep in the local houses also, which some of them have been turned into dormitories to take in people, hikers, because it's kind of a new industry. Tourism is very new in Colombia. So, still tourists come to the country and it's not so much how that the tourists look at the locals, but the locals look at the tourists the other way around. So that's quite an experience, I guess, for the people. We use these local farms, which are actually working farms where people live the whole year around and they either have, sheep or horses or they grow up potatoes or whatever they do. So it's like their houses and they just have, converted or just make it possible to sleep in the place. Yeah,
I think what makes all three of these regions you've described so interesting is just this ability to actually interact with people that live on the land and work the land, and a totally different experience from just going to a town and going to a hotel each day. You're actually getting to meet people, stay in their houses, eat authentic food. It really makes it not just an exciting trip to see these beautiful valleys and peaks, but also to just experience a culture and be in places where it isn't, all tourist focused. Is that some of the feedback you get when you take guests to these areas, that they're just kind of blown away by the cultural aspects as well?
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually one of the main things we get from the clients the feedback after the trips is that they really like, the authenticity still of the place and how they interacted not only with the guides and the staff of the people working for them, but also with the locals, because it's so unique still. And because there is not this big gap like you find in some other places where, the tourists are on one side and the locals on the other. Here, it's very mixed. So it's kind of a very real, authentic. Yeah, that's the right word for this experience. So people is generally very happy with that part of the trip. So you can always, and we also, all our programs, we try to combine it with some cultural experience of some kind, because we like also the people to experience something beside the main activity, whatever that might be.
Now, one thing I always love is I love combining a trek with like relaxation. And you've mentioned the Caribbean a few times. Tell me a little bit about, how developed are the seaside areas of Colombia? Is it just like going to, the south of France where it's just, all tourist villages and there's not any sort of natural areas? Or can you still find wild seaside areas in Colombia?
Well, you have both, basically. We have the Caribbean, which is the most developed, but it's not the entire Caribbean. It's just a part between Cartagena, which is the famous city, the fortified city from the Spanish colony, which is very famous because it's a place also where all the cruises, the big cruises that sail around the Caribbean stop. That around there is like, you know, pretty much, you know, like big buildings and resorts just in front of the sea. But then if you travel a bit farther north or south, you're already going into areas that are more nature, you know, more isolated. And there's always resorts, or not so much resorts, but lodges, the people that have established in their properties, small hotel types. So people can stay there. It's more local, less touristy, but it's more the nature you experience. So you got like both options. That would be on the Caribbean side. But then we have the Pacific coast also in Colombia, because we have both of them. And the Pacific, it's more wild. I would say that's more for, it's not for everyone. It's a great experience. Also, it has a very big add-on that between June and November, or the end of October, you have the whales coming by. So that's a period where they come with their newborns. So it's a very nice area because you got that attraction, not only the sea, but also to see the whales coming by. So there's very nice lodges in the Pacific. It's a more, I would say, extreme weather in the way that it rains more there. It's actually one of the rainiest places in the world. But it's tropical rain. It's not like it rains days and days without stop. It just rains a lot and stops after half an hour. So it's not that bad. But it's incredible because it's basically a jungle coming all the way out to the sea. So that is really incredible. It's an experience in itself to visit the Pacific. So you got both options. And it's very, very nice because you can combine it very easily with a mountain program, for example. So you can go up, hike in the mountains, and then end by the seaside, you know, in one or the other. So that's a great combination.
Thinking of, you know, these trips, is there a best time to go to Colombia? Are certain regions better at certain times of year? You mentioned a little bit about Cucuy going, I think, December to March is the best time. But when do you recommend people, if they want to do some trekking and they want to also enjoy the beaches, when should they be planning their trip?
Well, the beaches, you can visit them mainly the whole year around because it's hot weather. And as I tell you, if it rains more or less, but you can always enjoy the sun, you know. But if you want like good weather all over the country, that will be from the beginning of December until the end of March. That's like general summer in Colombia, no matter where you are in the country. But then it is kind of season determined, the rest. So you have another summer for the mountains between the end of June until the end of August. That's another period of time where you can visit them. Maybe the times you should avoid the country where it rains more, so it's more stable, is like April, May, and October, mid-November. That would be like the time where the rain season is. Not that you cannot travel, but it would be more unstable. Especially in the high mountains, I would avoid it for hiking in the high mountains because it rains quite a lot. Yeah.
And then my last question is, what's the status of COVID right now in Colombia in terms of access? I know we've heard recently lots of countries are starting to open their borders. If people want to go to Colombia, you know, what do they need to do to get in?
Yeah, well, access right now, restrictions are almost lifted. So you basically only need to fill a form from the immigration authorities 24 hours before you land in the country. And then that's about it. That's nothing else. The restrictions have been lifted all over the country. So there is nothing more than wearing the mask, of course. That's like in public places. And even if you go to restaurants, you have to wear it until you sit down, then you can remove it. But beside that, the whole country is open. There's only some local restrictions. One of them is, for example, to go hiking to the Lost City. But the only thing you need to do is to take a test 72 hours before you start the hike. And that can be done easily in the city of Santa Marta where the trek starts. So that's it. And it's only a quick test. So you get the results within a few hours.
You know, just hearing the discussion of, you know, imagining trekking in remote valleys with no one around and going and just spending a few days enjoying a sunny beach. It's getting cold here. The snow starting to fall in the mountains. I am so jealous of being able to do this. It sounds so great. Thank you so much for sharing this, Juan Carlos.
You're very welcome. Yeah.
You know, Colombia, I now see why it's so, you know, it was so popular pre-pandemic. I'll put some links to some of the trips Juan Carlos mentioned in the show notes. And I just expect, you know, there's going to be a crowds of people going to Colombia as COVID continues to go down, as people become more comfortable traveling, because it just sounds spectacular. We didn't even discuss all the cultural, the beautiful cities that, you know, most people go to Colombia for, all the culture and history there as well. But it really is an incredible country full of diversity.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Carlos.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the 10 Adventures podcast. If you liked it, why not give us a review? Better yet, subscribe and get inspired again and again. Also, if you want to find your own adventures, why not check out 10adventures.com, where you can use our free resources to plan your own trip or book a tour in over 60 countries and make your own epic memories on your next adventure.